Chapter 5. Amy kicked off her new boots and curled into her overstuffed recliner. Although she loved visiting Wyoming, she was happy to be back in her Pittsburgh duplex, even if it smelled like the litter box was overdue for a change. A cat climbed onto the chair and settled in her lap. Her dogs plopped at her feet. She picked up the phone and called Kate. After the initial greetings, she asked, "How was your trip to Grand Island?" "Good." Kate's voice came in loud and clear. "Much better than that drive from the ranch to Cheyenne. We experienced fairly decent roads after we dropped you off at the airport." "I'm glad to hear that." Amy snapped her fingers at her golden retriever. The dog was displaying way too much interest in her boots. "What's your impression of Nebraska?" "Flat. Very flat." Amy laughed. "Not quite like Wyoming, huh?" "Parts of Wyoming are on the plains, like Nebraska. After all, they're adjoining states. But this area is definitely not Whispering Pines country." "Did you have a good flight to Pittsburgh?" "Yes, except for the boring layover in Denver." Amy ran her hand over her cat's long black fur and felt a purr vibrate its warm body. "How's the bison sale going?" "So far, Mike has purchased 5 cows. Yearlings, I think they're called. The sales have been interesting. They're like auctions, but I'll be glad to return to the ranch. Motel living gets old fast, and I hate to be away from Aunt Mary for long." The cat rolled over and batted at the phone cord. Amy swung the cord back and forth, glad she kept her grandma's ancient phone. "Good news, Kate. I have a job interview tomorrow." "How exciting. Who's it with?" Amy shifted. The cat jumped off her lap, hissed at the dogs, and chased them out of the room. She cleared her throat. Kate wasn't going to like this part. "That online place I told you about? They liked my resume." "Oh." Amy heard disapproval in her friend's voice. "I'm just checking it out. They're paying for my flights to and from Dallas, and an overnight stay in a fancy hotel with a huge indoor swimming pool and an in-room hot tub. I saw pictures online. I also get 3 gourmet meals at high-class restaurants." "Tell me again." Kate sounded doubtful. "What's the name of the company, and what kind of job is this?" Amy drummed the chair arm with her fingertips. Her best friend ought to be happy she'd finally landed an interview for something other than flipping burgers. "I'll interview with an employment agency called Executive Pride for a personal assistant position with them that includes other duties, like hosting PR parties and making videos for clients. That's why the interview includes an acting audition." She took a breath. "I don't know much about it, but it sounds fun. I like the idea of variety in my work." Wrapping the phone cord around her finger, Amy decided not to tell Kate that the woman she talked with asked for her weight, dress size, and measurements. Even insisted she put down the phone to measure herself. She admitted that was strange. Yet, if she was going to act for them, they needed to know what size costumes to provide. She nibbled at the edge of a fingernail. Must be why they'd also asked her to send a full-body picture. Kate interrupted her thoughts. "I thought Elena was planning to move in with you and go to school in Pittsburgh. That's the cool thing about this job. They're a rapidly growing company with divisions all over the U.S. I can work in any large city I choose. What about working at the ranch this summer? Did Clint and Susan break up?" "Not that I know of," Kate sighed. "Is the pay good?" "The pay is awesome, far better than what I was making at the stables." "Almost sounds too good to be true. When do you leave?" "Fly to Dallas in the morning, interview in the afternoon, spend the night, and fly home Saturday morning. Short and sweet." One of her parrots squawked. "Short and sweet, short and sweet." "I heard that," Kate laughed. "Did you get permission from your parole officer for the out-of-state trip?" Amy hesitated. "I haven't told her. I mean, it's only overnight. She'll never know I'm gone. Besides, she's on my case to find a job, so the interview ought to please her." "Amy." "It's too late now. I committed to the interview. The tickets are purchased, and her office is closed for the day." For a moment, Kate was silent. "I hope it all works out for you. What time will you get home on Saturday?" "I'm not sure. They'll give me my plane ticket when I get there." "That's unusual. Seems they'd send you both tickets up front." Amy shrugged. "They're the ones buying the tickets. Do me a favor." "What?" "Memorize my cell phone number and our number at the ranch." "Why?" Amy asked. "I have your numbers in my phone. It just seems like a smart thing to do, in case you drop your phone in the hot tub or whatever. Okay, I can do that, I guess. Seems silly. Humor me. Call me the minute you get home. I want to hear all about it, okay? Sure, Mimi smiled. Even if she didn't get the job, spending a couple days in Dallas would be an adventure. I'd better go decide what to wear for the interview. Wish me luck. I'll be praying for you. Thanks. Kate chuckled. What's so funny? I'm surprised you're willing to leave your animals again so soon, even for one night. You worried about them constantly while you were in Wyoming. My next-door neighbor's kid, the one who took care of them while I was gone, he said he'd feed them and walk the dogs. I'll sleep better knowing he's checking on them. No doubt you'd toss and turn all night in your fancy hotel room if you thought they were missing a meal. Kate paused. One more thing. What's that? Wear your copper-colored blouse with a dark green pantsuit. You look like a movie star in that outfit. Laura answered the office phone on the third ring. Hello? Hey, pretty lady, you have a moment to chat? She lowered her voice, even though she was alone. I'm just doing email correspondence. I'd like to take you to dinner tomorrow night. Return the favor for those strawberries you fed me. So Todd was back in town. You don't have to do that. I want to. I appreciate the offer. However, Kate's aunt just moved in with me. She has dementia, along with multiple sclerosis, and can't be left alone. Kate and Mike are at a bison sale in Nebraska and won't be back until Saturday or Sunday. He was quiet, as if digesting the information. So I'll bring dinner to you and the aunt, complete with candles. How does that sound? You cook? She couldn't keep the surprise out of her voice. Todd didn't seem like the type to cook anything more complicated than a hamburger. What do you think a widower with a child to feed does? Open cans and boxes? Well, I plan to knock your socks off. Be ready with an appetite. Goodness, Todd, you don't have to go to all that work. In fact, you shouldn't do anything at all. They were just strawberries from our garden. Fabulous strawberries, enjoyed with a fabulous lady. I'll be there at 6 o'clock sharp. Bye. Laura put the phone down. The man had it all figured out. That thought raised her hackles a bit. Maybe she should call him back and tell him not to come. She started to reach for the phone but stopped. It was nice to have someone notice her and want to spend time with her. One evening with Todd couldn't amount to much, could it? Mary would be their unofficial chaperone, and with any luck, her failing short-term memory would keep her from telling Mike and Kate about Todd's visit. Amy reached for her bag on the airline carousel, just as a masculine hand with long, tapered fingers, well-groomed nails, and a diamond ring grasped it. Allow me. She turned her head and found herself face to face with an incredibly good-looking, good-smelling, olive-skinned man. His jaw and upper lip were tinged by a hint of dark beard. He smiled, revealing perfectly spaced white teeth, and her mind went blank, except for two words, Greek God. The man lifted the bag and straightened. Miss Amy Iverson, I presume. Tall, well-built, and wearing a suit, her escort was dressed far better than the others who surrounded the carousel. The curve of a gold watch glinted just below his jacket sleeve. Yes? In one fluid motion, he set the suitcase on the floor, extended the handle, and held out his other hand. Amy cringed at the sight of a snake tattoo that wound from the back of his hand into his sleeve. Fangs protruded from the open mouth. I'm Thomas. He took her hand. I'll be your escort this weekend. How do you know who I am? You provided a picture, remember? Oh, yeah. I mean, yes. As they shook hands, she tried not to touch the tattoo, which was more realistic than any snake tat she'd seen. And she'd seen a lot of them, especially in prison. Women who thought they were tough or considered themselves sexy tended to be the ones who flaunted serpents winding around their bodies. Her bird tats were much nicer. He offered a sly grin. If you don't mind me saying so, you're far more attractive in person than in your photo. Thank you, I think. Was that a compliment or an insult? He motioned toward the exit. This way, please. The instant they exited the building, a black limousine glided to the curb in front of them and stopped. The driver came around to greet them. Thomas handed him her luggage and helped her inside. Then he sat next to her, a wide smile highlighting his tanned face. Ready for lunch? Though she was rarely without words, the man's stunning features took her breath away, not to mention his delectable aftershave. All she could do was smile and gawk at the leather and mirror surroundings. She'd never been inside a limo. The car slid into traffic and merged with all the other vehicles exiting Dallas-Fort Worth International Airport. Thomas indicated the minibar in front of them. "Would you like me to fix you a drink?" "No, thank you." He seemed disappointed, but he didn't push her. Instead, he asked, "Ever been to Dallas before?" "This is my first visit. I'm anxious to see the city and meet some Texans." "Well, you'll get to know its citizens well." His eyes glittered. "In a weekend?" "We'll have you back here often for corporate meetings and training sessions. Dallas will become like a second home to you." "If I'm hired," he smirked. "My guesses so far as to who makes it and who doesn't have been 100% accurate." "Really?" She grinned. "Did she finally have a job?" "I predict you'll fly through HR. You've only known me a few minutes." Thomas ran a hand over his hair, revealing more of the tattoo that continued up his forearm. Amy bit her lip. The lifelike reptile looked ready to crawl off his arm and onto the leather seat. "Call it masculine intuition," he winked. "Or maybe it's that the ones who impress me impress HR. Within moments, it seemed, they were standing just inside the entrance of a beautiful restaurant, high atop an elegant hotel in downtown Dallas. The palatial yet intimate setting was exquisite. She'd never seen anything like it, or smelled such tempting aromas. Thomas took off his jacket, his muscles rippling seductively under a form-fitting red silk shirt. He adjusted his tie and insisted she leave her jacket, as well as her suitcase and purse, with the coat clerk. "The employees at this place are so trustworthy, they're bonded. Your belongings are probably safer with them than with yourself." He laughed at his joke as if it was the funniest thing he'd ever heard. Was he laughing at her? Did he know she'd done time for theft? She could barely understand the menu, let alone recognize the food her escort ordered for her, but it was tasty. Delicate, flaky pastries melted in her mouth. The savory sauce topped incredibly tender meat, and the buttery vegetables were steamed to perfection. She couldn't begin to imagine what the dessert options might be. Although she asked for iced tea, Thomas insisted she try the house specialty, a grand mimosa with raspberries. "You'll love it. That's what I always order for my guests. I can't go to the job interview with alcohol on my breath." "You seem tense. A drink would help you relax." She didn't feel tense. Scrutinizing his flawless features and staring into his beautiful eyes banished all concern. If she could, she'd sit there all afternoon just ogling his perfect body. She lowered her gaze and speared a broccoli floweret and hoped she used the right fork. The waiter set their drinks in front of them. Thomas stirred his and then reached over to stir hers. The tattoo undulated with the movement. Amy stared out the window at the wide expanse of city below. Why did such a gorgeous man have to ruin his body with a snake head? "This restaurant's mimosas are perfect," Thomas was saying. "Except I always think they need a couple more swirls. The blend in the liqueur just right." She nodded her gratitude and slowly chewed a bite of meat, relishing the flavor. Thomas watched her eat, but she wasn't about to hurry. No matter how much money they paid her, she had a feeling it would be a long time before she could afford anything this expensive. She swallowed. "What? What do you mean, what? I get the feeling you're waiting for me to choke or something." "No, not at all. Do you like what I ordered for you?" "Everything tastes fabulous. Wonderful, scrumptious, even if I can't pronounce the names. Thank you for bringing me here. I've never been to such an exotic restaurant. The view from this place is incredible." "Don't thank me. It's on the company, even the drinks. You really think it's okay for me to drink alcohol before the interview?" He leaned forward, rested his elbows on the table, and tented his long fingers. "If it'll make you feel better, just take a couple sips. You'll love it." Amy reached for the drink. "You have a much better idea of what is expected of me today than I do." His eyebrows rose. "You'd better believe it, baby. I'm looking forward to it." What was that supposed to mean? She tilted the delicate champagne flute, sipping from the rim. It was good. She took another, longer drink and smiled at her host. Very nice. Gourmet meal number one, two to go. She could get used to this lifestyle. He lowered his eyelids and loosened his tie. She set the drink down. The mimosa was delicious, but she couldn't risk ruining the interview of a lifetime.